The former Taoiseach Cuberty Ahern found himself trending on Twitter yesterday when he took to the stage on the other side of the world to announce the results of an independence referendum in a violence-hit region of Papua New Guinea called Bougainville. Bertie Ahern is on the line now. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us on the programme. And I'm going to ask our listeners to bear with us. As I said, the other side of the world, the line isn't great. There's a bit of a delay. But could you tell me, first of all, Bertie Ahern, what brought you out there in the first place?
Well, back to 2 years ago, almost Christmas week 2 years ago, I was contacted by the then Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, who I think it was his grandfather. He had been reared in Australia, was from Derry. He was a frequent enough visitor to Derry whenever he was on this side of the world. He was aware of Northern Ireland, obviously, and his own connections with it. And he asked me, would I undertake it? And I said, let me think about it. So after a few months, Paddy Duffy, the late Paddy Duffy, and myself met him when the Commonwealth meeting was in London. And we agreed that if both sides agreed and if the United Nations agreed, and they had been in contact with me as well, that I would do it. I didn't want to get myself in the middle of a war where 23,000 people had been killed without everyone signing up to it. So that happened, and for the last 18 months or so, I've been back and forward trying to implement the peace process. And a major part of the peace process was the referendum for independence.
And can you just fill us in on the background to the conflict? 23,000 people, that is a lot of grief, a lot of death and violence, obviously.
Yeah, 23,000 people were killed. You know, tens of thousands of people were hurt. What happened was that Papua New Guinea is a country of almost 10 million. Bougainville was the richest part of it. They had 25% of the GDP. Their educational standards were higher than any other part of it. And they had the third richest copper mine in the world. Panguna was the name of it. The Australians and the Papua New Guinea gave the contract to a company that is, allegedly, they didn't share any of the resources with the locals. The locals started the conflict. It turned into a civil war between within Papua New Guinea, or within Bougainville, and between the military in Papua New Guinea and Bougainville. So it went on for about 9 years. There was a peace agreement fixed in 2001, but nobody quite knew how to try to implement that. So my task over the last 2 years or so was to try and implement that peace agreement, try and organise a referendum, which is not easy in a place that's so dispersed. And that's really what this last 3 weeks were about.
And what exactly was the referendum? I mean, it was carried overwhelmingly. What were the people being asked to decide?
Two questions were put to them, whether they wanted greater autonomy from Papua New Guinea or whether they wanted independence. 97.7% voted for independence. It's not an independence that's binding because, quite frankly, Papua New Guinea are still required to assist them in some of the donor countries. If they were just to walk away, I think it would do no good to Bougainville. So what will happen now, and we've a lot of the work done, it's not my remit, we've a lot of the work done on setting the framework for how talks will now go on between Papua New Guinea and Bougainville to try to sustain the country. The country is devastated, the roads have been ruined, the bridges are gone, the schools, kids didn't go to school during the troubles, the hospitals were desecrated, and probably every family in the area was affected by multiple deaths. So now the discussions will talk, and tomorrow morning, we're in night time here, but tomorrow morning a meeting will take place between the President of Bougainville and the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea for the first time in 30 years, charting out the road forward.
And is there a willingness on the part of the Prime Minister and the authorities in Papua New Guinea to respect the outcome of the referendum?
Yes, there is, and they have promised me that. It's a difficult part of the world, Sean, and, you know, there's been a lot of commitments given over 19 years that weren't honoured. And like, I suppose, every peace process, it has its ups and downs. Money that was to be transferred wasn't transferred. But Bougainville, if it's given a fair chance, is a very rich part of the world. It's 25% of the tuna fish of the world. It has great natural resources, and it could certainly It could certainly, if given a fair wind, I think, become a very wealthy place again. But it won't happen. I think probably a 5-year, 10-year plan is what's necessary to give it that lift.
So what kind of external support do you think will be required? You mentioned the United Nations at the outset, Bertie. Is there likely to be a continuing role for the UN and perhaps even for yourself?
Well, I've been asked by both sides to stay at it, but even with flights working perfectly, it's 36 hours door to door, and flights rarely work perfectly. So my interest will be from a distance, but the UN will certainly be involved. This is a big issue with Australia and New Zealand. This is an everyday news story in Australia and New Zealand today, because the problems in Australia is with the Panguna mine and the company that was behind that were Australian. So the donor countries tend to be Japan, Germany to a lesser extent, but mainly Australia and New Zealand. They put a lot of money into this end of the world. Bougainville, just for those who are familiar with Australia, is only an hour's flight from Cairns. It's right against the Solomon Islands. I'm literally looking out over the Solomon Islands. So it's that corner of the world. And Papua New Guinea is only 45 years in existence itself. It's made up of several provinces, a parliament of 111. So, but it has had quite a violent past. But, you know, so far so good. I think the last number of years has been peaceful. The arms have been decommissioned. We follow some of the issues we did in Northern Ireland. The arms were put beyond use. We had the decommissioning body. So we've been through all of the things that I've been familiar with over the last 35 years.
This being Ireland, people will want to know if you're being paid for your role.
Yeah, I do. I get most of my costs, Sean, are flight and hotels. And, well, hotels are kind of Lowsteins, B&B, Bougainville does not have infrastructure, and the UNDP pay for that. The allowance I get is small, but for me, it was as I did in the Basque country, and I did in Ukraine. Most of my work is with development organisations where you don't get salaries, but UNDP pay the costs.
And it's today, as it happens, significant in two respects. One, it's the 21st anniversary of the Nobel Prize being awarded to David Trimble and John Hume. From where you're looking at it now, do you think what's your sense of perhaps an early breakthrough in the restoration of the institutions in Stormont?
Yeah, no, I hope so, Sean. To be honest, I think the parties, from what I know, because I was up north a number of times before I came out here, and I think the politicians were getting it in the ear that they need to get back to work and get back into the institutions. And both sides have publicly, both Mary Lou McDonnell and Arlene Foster, have made it clear that they're ready for it. So the issues are clear. They've been well rehearsed. And, you know, I know there's talk about the resumption of the talks on Tuesday. I hope that happens. But there is no reason in the wild world why the institutions cannot be got back up quickly. And I hope that happens.
No doubt as well. You will be keeping an eye on the British election. It's happening today. The people are voting as we speak. What's your expectation? What's your hope?
Well, I better not get into my hope, because I don't think that's going to happen. But it's hard to see, based on the first past the post system and the constant polls of the last 2 months, that Boris Johnson should have a good day. I cannot see Labour being able to get anywhere, quite frankly. The only thing that'll be interesting to see if the social media campaign that tried to target and try to unite the Remain vote, to see what effect that has. But it's hard to say that it will have enough of effect to influence the number of constituencies. So I suspect Johnson will get an overall majority. And of course, then we'll have to go back to dealing with the absolute nonsense that he will get a trade deal in 2020. And it's as likely that I get home in an hour as that happening.
Bertie Ahern from your Lowsteen in Bougainville in Papua New Guinea, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and safe trip home.
Thanks a lot, John.